Now I am recording too. Okay. Well, if everyone's ready, I will first take a drink of water because I didn't have time to make tea yet. So hopefully I won't be too bitchy. And
good company. Good.
No more than normal, right, Jeff?
No more than normal. Because you know me, I am always just a jerk. Okay, everyone ready? All right, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show, where we are more prepared than you can possibly imagine. And by that, I mean, I can't wait to see what we talk about today. Ewan is not with us because he had to go back into the witness protection program for just a little while. And when he rejoins us, he will probably have a name like Bill Jones. And we will no longer be able to make any references to Ewan Rankin. But that's okay, because that's how the witness protection program works. The weirdest part will be adjusting to how his voice always sounds like it's being run through a synthesizer. But we'll get by. Anyhow, the Mac Show. Ewan hopefully will be back with us for all the shows next week from the Mobile Command Center, which, by the way, is the single coolest office in all of the British Tech Network Kingdom. Yeah, it really is. Okay, we have a really awesome panel today, and we will start in this side for me. So that would be Chuck. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for hosting. We always appreciate when you step in when Ewan has to step out.
I'm happy to do it, and I haven't been kicked off yet. So that means either I'm doing okay, or the bar is low enough that you just can't justify getting rid of me. And either one is fine, because it gives me something to do on Friday mornings, and hanging out with all of you is awesome.
Yeah. Or the letter has not made it through the courts yet.
Oh, yeah. That could be. Yeah.
We've tried hard to get you kicked off, Jeff, but it just, you know, it would.
Yeah.
Just need to try harder.
Just like a bad rash. Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about lack of tea before the show. I think it might be Chuck, actually.
Oh, well, okay then.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see what you say by the time we get to the end of the show. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. When you talked about the witness protection program and new names, for some reason, the name Terry Wildshaw came into my mind. I don't know where it came from. It was like a random name that just popped up.
Oh my God, I love
that's
it.
That's a cool name.
It is. All right, so that will be Ewan's new name after he gets out of witness protection.
Okay, good to know.
You know, which is kind of funny, because you don't actually get out of witness protection if you still have a fake name and fake identity assigned to you.
Yeah, you're still in.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing well. Like, the week has been one of those weeks where I'm just running from one thing to another. Even today, like, I had a meeting right before the show that came in, like, earlier even. Like, it wasn't planned. In between, I picked up a delivery that I haven't even had the chance to open. It's nothing interesting. I mean, I could do like a live unboxing, but I don't think anybody cares, because it's shoes. So,
I mean, are they cool shoes?
They're definitely cool shoes. Yeah, maybe I'll take that as my cool thing, and we'll do that.
They plug in. Do they plug in?
No. Your feet, yeah.
Well, no, then forget it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not technology. Like, so.
Well,
they're cool, but not that.
I mean, technically, that is technology.
It is technology. I mean, that's why I'm going to pick it. There's a reason why I'm picking it. Like, I used something to get them, and that was really cool. So that's more. It's less about the shoes and more about the technology that got me.
Okay, now everyone that's watching live, now you have a reason to stick through the whole show, because now you need to find out what Patrice's pick is and how all the pieces fit together.
Exactly.
Awesome. another reason to stay for the whole show. Callum is here. Callum, how are you?
Very good, thank you. It's been another busy week at IMM Max. We've been organizing everything, running around, making sure everything's up on the website, reflow-wise. So, found lots of stuff that went through the cracks this week, which is good. So, everything will be on in due course, which is what we want. So, yeah, just really busy as always.
Awesome. And will you do me a favor? Humor me, please. Because you say the name of Apple's new operating system better than anyone else. Will you please say it for me?
Monterey.
Thank you.
Monterey.
No worries.
Monterey. That is just
I awesome. Reckon.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Happy to help.
That was worth it. Just showing up today to hear your better pronunciation of macOS Monterey.
Just
awesome. And then the icing on the cake is going to be Patrice's cool thing at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, liberate yourself. Forget about the second day. That's what I said.
Yeah, words to just, live by.
Actually, Apple shouldn't change the name. It sounds so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It maybe does. We can get the city of Monterey to change their name.
Ah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But my assumption is that they're watching live. And that they have already introduced legislation for the city council to change the name.
Yeah, by the end of the show, they will have changed it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a fair old assumption, that is.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So let's hop into some news. And we're going to start with a story that no doubt Chuck is going to make you very happy to talk about. We're going to talk about Spain, consumer groups right in Spain, excuse me, they have their panties all in a bunch because they are upset about Apple intentionally slowing down iPhones, or so they say.
Yeah. For like the 15th time we're looking into this topic.
You know, I'm torn because I hate to give this publicity, and yet I think we need to call it out and let people know that this is just plain stupid. You know, I mean, okay, so your automaker restricts how fast your car can go. You know, there are a lot of different examples out there of products that are limited to improve safety or performance, and that's what's going on here. Is Apple says, you know, we're opting to try to improve the experience for our product as opposed to, you know, just flat out, okay, just drain the battery in 10 minutes and it's fine. And you'll complain about that if we do that too. So I look at this and it's like, really? I mean, the first time, okay, maybe you could look into it and say there's a legitimate reason. But, you know, would you people please hire some engineers to explain this to you and stop bothering us?
Yeah, and especially since this is as old as technology, probably said, as old as computers is. I mean, I remember in the 90s when Microsoft is slowing down old machines because they don't run the new software as fast as the old one. Yeah, no, I mean, I was always like, yeah, that's clear. Like, it's new software that runs more stuff. Obviously, everything is going to go a little bit slower. You can't do more and expect it to like behave exactly the same as before. Doesn't work. I actually like your car analogy there, because I was thinking the BMW i3 I had, you could not run the car at top speed for long, because at some point they would throttle it, because otherwise it would overheat. If it was too cold or too hot, they would also throttle like the speeds you could reach. I mean, not to an extent where it was a problem, because I mean, I never went like 120 miles an hour, so I didn't care. I never drove that fast, but they did because physics, and because it just wasn't safe for the car. Like, you would damage the car if you did that. So like, it makes sense. And I don't even think in this case Apple is intentionally doing anything. They're just adding features and improving things and working on things, and yeah, maybe people feel it slower.
And Patrice, that's a really, thanks for that, for supporting the example, because Look, I get it that if you just want to use every bit of juice that's out there, then by all means. But I don't know about you, but if my iPhone starts to get a little on the low side and I know I'm not going to have an opportunity to recharge it, or have an external battery pack with me, I will, pull the brightness on the screen down.
Yeah.
And it makes it low power mode. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a big difference. And so Apple is making this choice, and in my mind, it's their choice to make, because they want to improve the experience of the phone. And I love the fact that you pointed out that, each iteration of the software adds more things and puts more stress. That's why we all get so excited about the new chips that each one seems to bring out, because it can not only handle that, but it can handle more as Apple brings it out.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about those really old 90s computer games. If they run on a current computer, they don't run properly because the CPU is too fast. Like, the same thing would happen, I think, if you installed iOS 1 on a current iPhone. I mean, if it even runs, I'm pretty sure this thing would fly because, the technology is so much better. But in between, we've added, 15 million features.
Go on, Chuck, sorry.
No, please. Go ahead, Cal.
Yeah, I think something I would say that interests me, I've used a Windows machine this week to have to do a data recovery. And they have a feature, if you press on the battery symbol in the corner, you can pick between high performance or saving the battery. And there's a toggle switch. Do you think to nip something like this in the bud, Apple could essentially add a feature where you as the consumer go, yeah, I want my phone to run as fast as it can, but I'm fully aware the battery will die in 10 minutes, as you said earlier. Or on the other hand, it throttles the phone down a bit so the battery actually lasts for a reasonable amount of time. Do you think that potentially just having that button nips this in the bud, gives it back to the consumer, and then no one can write stories about it anymore?
Isn't Apple already doing that?
Yeah, with low power mode.
No, not just that.
To a certain degree.
They have also the throttling thing. Once the battery reaches a certain age and certain performance characteristics, and they have to start throttling the device, one, it tells you that. And two, I think you can go into the settings and actually override it and say, I don't care. Just kill my battery. I don't care.
I don't believe
they added that feature after everyone started flipping out about.
Yeah, I thought you could change that. I thought there was a setting somewhere.
I could be wrong. I don't think you can. I think it tells you, but because when I go on my phone now, it still comes up and says I can have peak performance because my battery's in decent nick. But I believe that when you get to a battery where it can't,
to degrade enough that the feature kicks in. And then you see additional settings.
Yeah. Right. I mean, by the way, I have not seen it after 2 years.
Oh, I've got a 3-year-old iPhone X.
Yeah, still not seeing it. So clearly not a big problem, even for a 3-year-old phone.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And
Patrice, your example of the sword cutting both ways, that some of the older games don't run properly because the CPUs are too fast. I mean, that's a really interesting thing. You would think, if anything, it's like, well, gee, it would be fine. But if it wasn't built, the software wasn't built properly, or the CPU wasn't built to address that software, didn't support that software. Yeah. So, I feel like this is just one of those things. In fact, who said it in the chat room? I lost it.
Magic Man's comment.
Magic Man says, yeah, this is an ABBA moment. Money, money, money. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. There was a related story that the EU is looking into battery drain in iOS, I think 14.5, which I'm also what the hell? I mean, battery drain. That's something mentioned
in this article, excuse me, from MacRumors as well. This Spanish consumer organization, mm-hmm. They're saying that iOS 14.5 and higher is causing a faster battery drain. And their implication is that this is intentional on Apple's part. Like they're forcing obsolescence of the iPhone 12.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's no. Nobody, I mean, Apple couldn't even afford to do that, because if they did and they got caught, and they would get caught because they have security researchers and a lot of other people looking at the code. And I mean, not just like a lot of people, everybody, like, I mean, all those leaks of people disassembling iOS versions to see like under the hood what has changed, that would be found out probably pretty quickly if someone built something somewhere to just like, I don't know, run a process that just spins the CPU. No, that makes no sense. As I said, it's for the most part, it is very likely machine learning and all of those features. Would it be cool for Apple to allow people to decide that and say, do I need machine learning? Do I want to just deactivate it to save battery maybe, or have it run less often? I mean, sure, some people would probably like that. I don't care. Like, I probably would never go in and change it because the defaults are fine for me.
I'd like to know how much power that AI is actually using. Mm-hmm. Like, would you even notice?
I mean, it will have an effect, because I mean it uses battery, or it uses power. It's not CPU for the most part, because it's especially the neural engine, usually, but it does use power. Like anything that runs uses power.
Right, but there's some things where if you disabled them, the the power savings would be so negligible that you wouldn't be able to perceive it.
Yeah, I have a feeling it is not that little, because remember, like when all the usually what happens on when new iOS versions come out, the indexing that's going on in the background when everything gets reprocessed and so on, and you do notice that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would guess it's not zero. It's enough that you would notice it if it was happening a lot, at least.
And this bothers me again, because Apple sells performance, not like, you know, zoom performance, but they sell the performance of the iPhone, how it works, the feature sets it has. They sell that experience. And judging by the sales, they've been pretty darn successful with it. And so to hobble that, to, you know, to add one more control that not this group and not anybody listening to this, but that the average user out there says, oh, I'm going to flip this. And then they forget they flipped it. And then they can't figure out why, you know, why this isn't working, you know, why this machine learning, all these things they keep hearing about, you know, is not working or not doing what it said it's going to do.
Yeah. Or yeah, they say, Android is so much better at it because the iOS iPhone doesn't do it. And like they just deactivated it.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, I'm trying to go back to car analogies. You know, if you buy a car from X manufacturer, you buy it from the factory. Now, it's a little different because, you know, cars can be modified and worked on a little bit differently if you want to enhance them or do changes. But for the most part, that company is selling you that experience. And if it's, you know, I'm trying to think of a low cost manufacturer. But if it's a low cost manufacturer, they're selling you the low cost experience. If it's BMW, they're selling you a much higher cost experience. So, you know,
hopefully,
it bothers me a lot that, you know, that this kind of thing gets any press. And that's why, you know, I feel like we should call it out as just stupid. Sorry, but
I'm okay if we talk about it, or if it's people that are really deep in the operating system and they notice that there's something going on and they want to know why. Like if it's in like specialty areas, it's discussed. Like I don't have a problem with even us talking about it and saying, okay, I don't know, we noticed that battery is worse on iOS 14.6. I don't have a big problem with figuring out why this is happening and having a discussion there. Where it gets difficult is when it's like it's a big deal and the press talks about it and like governments get involved and all of that. And I'm like, what's the point? I mean, it's honestly, I don't think it's in Apple's own interest to have a phone that feels slower, because people will not be happy. And I mean, sure, some people might switch, but some people might just say this is garbage and get a different phone. Like it from a different manufacturer.
And I think also as well, something that I notice personally, you know, dealing with lots and lots of devices on a day-to-day basis, the phones that you feel are slower are normally 8 going downwards. So if you've got an iPhone X or an 8 or whatever, most of the time your battery's in decent nick and you don't have a lot to worry about. You are talking, it's if you've got an iPhone 6, 6S, 7, that's when you're going to really feel it. And the amount of people with those devices now are very much dwindling. And also, if you've still got an iPhone 6S, do you really care that much? Probably not.
Nope. I have a 6S.
You're probably happy that you have a phone that's still supported.
Yes. I said, I have a 6S here. It's my camera. It does feel sluggish, but I mean, that device is how old now? It's a 6. I think it's a 6, so that should be 7 years. Did I do the math correctly? Almost 7 years.
So I don't expect it to be snappy. You have a 7-year-old smartphone
that still
runs. Functional.
Yeah, it still runs fine. I mean, as I said, it is sluggish. Like you compare simply because I'm comparing it to my 11, and like in direct comparison, obviously it is like the 11 is gonna be faster and snappier and everything. So you notice that it's slower. I think if I was using the 6 all the time and I didn't have anything else, I wouldn't even know.
I'm afraid to tell you which one I have in the basement that I pulled out recently for a video project and used it as the audio recorder. And I thought, you know, this is, you know, forget it. I mean, I might as well recycle this. And heck, I plugged it in, charged it up, and it worked perfectly. Yeah. Now, and I didn't put it on the internet, you know, because there was no reason, because I was just going to use the recording function. So there was no reason for me to do anything else with it. But at the end of the day, you know, yeah, it could still be a useful device for a particular use case for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be one way Apple could address this, would just say, okay, whenever a battery gets below a certain level, then guess what? You have to change it out at, you know, $29.95. And of course, people are going to
flip out.
Exactly. If they forced you to do it.
Yep. They forced you to do it. But here, they're forcing you to throttle the phone. It just feels like Apple's never going to win no matter what.
No, they won't. All right. So as long as we're talking about people complaining about what Apple is doing, well, let's talk about Apple in the music industry. So,
I like Mueller's comment. I mean, it's rare that I say that, but Apple pays gravity to smash iPhone screens.
That's true. It's the Apple gravity conspiracy.
Totally.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So in the UK, Callum, you might be familiar with that locale.
In fact, bit of a tangent. The MP who's heading the committee is my local politician.
Oh. So Callum's best friend is spearheading a committee that wants to basically reset the way the streaming music industry works, and part of the complaint here is that musicians should be making more money than they are off of streaming music. And so, of course, this means this will affect Apple, and this will affect Google Play and Amazon Prime Music and YouTube, and of course, now that Apple is offering lossless music, suddenly lossless music is an issue, which I find kind of funny. Why were we not seeing this complaint about lowering or diminishing revenues for musicians via lossless music when it was other streaming music services that were doing this? But now that Apple's on board, time to get our panties in a bunch again and start complaining and threaten legal action or legislation.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea to have a complete reset of the streaming business. That's not going to happen. I mean, especially not, I mean, maybe if all the governments in the world got together and agreed totally to completely change everything, maybe then something could change, but that's not going to happen.
Hey, no. I've got an idea. Why don't they just reset the entire music business? Yeah. Nullify all the contracts, all the ownerships, and let's start over and make sure that the artists get paid more. Yeah. I mean, I do support the idea that artists get paid more. There's no question about that. But, you know, to say that, I mean, this, okay, why don't we dig into the auto industry? Why don't we dig into the banking industry? Why don't we dig into any industry and just say, we need a reset because somebody's making too much money here.
Yeah.
You know, movies,
books, like everything, like podcasts.
Chuck,
I think what I would go on, Jeff, sorry.
Chuck, you hit on what I think is the core of the problem here. Instead of focusing on the companies that are streaming the music, focus on the companies that are licensing the music, because this is where it starts. And this is where the whole thing with the content creators, the artists making so little money begins. The music licensing companies, those are the places that are keeping the lion's share of the revenue.
And that predates the internet.
Yeah, that totally predates the internet. Yeah. And it's no secret that for decades that if you're an artist and you have an album that's available for sale, the only way you're really going to make money on it is if you have bought up a bunch of the albums at cost from your label, and then you take them to your concert and sell them yourself. Mm. And other than that, you're getting almost nothing for your album sales.
Yeah, I mean, it is not an easy thing. I mean, I wouldn't take the streaming services out of it. I mean, it isn't their best for all of them, like Apple, all of them. It isn't their best interest to pay as little as possible. Like, I mean, you can argue whether one is maybe a little bit more altruistic than the other, but ultimately they want like a price that is low enough that it makes sense, like that the customer is willing to subscribe to the service and that they make money off it. And yeah, that it makes a business sense, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that all of them, to some extent, are pushing the prices down. Because it's a negotiation. Like, there's one side that says, okay, we want to stream and we want to offer this. And there's the other side that says, well, we need people to listen to our stuff.
So, mm-hmm. And what makes this interesting, too, with the lossless part, is that now... that there's even more of a reason than ever before to stream as opposed to going out and still continuing to buy CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like that's, you know, as Jeff, as you said, you know, that they didn't complain about this when we were talking about 128K MP3s. Now, all of a sudden, the lossless thing, you know, changes the game a little bit in that regard, but it feels like it's changing it after the horse left the barn.
Yes. And another article that goes along with the topic, so the first one came from Mac Observer. This second one comes from 9to5Mac, looks specifically at Apple saying, hey, you know, what you want to do is bump up the cut that we're paying to artists to 50%. And currently it is 16%, under 20%. And Apple's saying, yeah, that's not exactly going to work out well. And this is exactly what you were getting at, Chuck. They're trying to fix the wrong end of the problem. They need to, if they really want to address this, they need to go back to the record labels, the companies that are licensing the music, and look at the sort of negotiations and deals that they're making with the artists.
Yeah. I mean, Magic Man brought that up, that a lot of artists sign away their rights for, like, he called it a first fat sign-on fee. I mean, from what I've heard and seen, also like smaller artists, there's a massive power differential happening here. You have the big, like you have the usually struggling artists that like wanna make it and need a label to do that. Usually, I mean, YouTube has changed some things there, but like it's, I think, still massively, labels are still massively influential. And so the labels basically dictate what the conditions are. And like there's like people like Taylor Swift who like basically had to sign away most of her content for like years and years and years to get the support she needed to get successful. And now she basically has to re-record everything because the label just doesn't want to like give away or like give her back what she created. Mm-hmm. She wanted to pay it, like she wanted to buy it even. Like she was like, she wasn't like, it's mine, I want it. Now she was like, I'm gonna buy it. And they wouldn't even want it. Like they wouldn't even allow it. And so there is like at the point where a lot of artists sign, I mean, not the big names. I mean, if Madonna changes the label, she is in a pretty good position to negotiate. So, I mean, that's a different level. But like, especially the newcomers, they have a hard time making anything.
And because of the volume of music that the record companies control, it's I mean, listen, the game has changed, I think, in favor of the smaller artists, because now they don't necessarily have to have the, you know, the $10 million studio to go to. They can do it, you know, digitally in their homes a lot easier. Not perfectly, but, you know, a heck of a lot easier. The trouble is, though, in the promotion and all, and the record companies, you know, want to squeeze the little artists out, or the unsigned artists out, by saying, okay, well, Apple, Google, whoever else, you know, we want this. This is what we want. We want you to push our artists and our music. And, you know, that little record that Patrice made, well, you know, okay, yeah, you can put it on there, but, you know, we don't want to see it listed anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a very complex and like, I don't think, fair system. It's not, I mean, it's also not just record labels. I mean, they have their businesses and they have like interests on their own. And I mean, you can't tell me that Sony or BMG couldn't pay a little bit more to their artists, because I mean, they make a lot of money. On the other hand, the business has changed quite a bit, and I don't think it's as lucrative as it was.
Yeah, I think I look at it, I don't know a lot about this, to be honest, but the way I read it and the way it's being portrayed to me is, it seems to me that the government over here seems to be pointing the finger at streaming services because they're the person that delivers it. And the reality is the issues go much, much further up the chain, where the inequity and the inequality actually comes from labels rather than the companies delivering the content, from what I gather, which...
I would even go one step further. I think it's not just because they're the first in line. It's because they're the same tech companies that governments seem to like bashing anyway. Look at who the big players are. Yeah. Spotify is maybe the exception, but there's Google with YouTube, which is, I think, at least according to the article, the second biggest after the radio in the UK. There's Apple, which is still massive in especially the online market, not streaming, but in general in the online music market. Who else is there? Amazon. Also, I would say, relatively big. It's the same companies that we're talking about in other areas as well.
All right. So I want to make sure we have more than just two topics today, you know, considering there was so much to talk about this week. So what do you want? Should we stick with everyone's complaining about Apple theme, or should we do a story that's not everyone complaining about Apple?
Host choice. We'll put the pressure on you, Jeff.
All right. Okay. So, well, let's see. That's a really good question. Which one? Yeah, Bob Beach in the chat room is saying it's a tough choice. All right, let's break the theme and let's go with something that's not people complaining about Apple. And let's talk about iPhone 12 sales. So this is from Apple World today. iPhone 12 accounts for 63% of Apple smartphone sales in the third fiscal quarter. That's a buttload of phones.
Yeah, I was the one that brought this story up. Excuse me. I was the one that brought this story up. And I just think it's fascinating that at this point in time that we are seeing this kind, these kind of sales for the iPhone 12 when we know, I mean, I'm sorry, but we all know that the iPhone 13 or whatever they call it is going to be coming in just a few months. So I guess this points to the fact that people are just going out and maybe they don't pay as much attention to the cycle as we all think that they do.
Oh, no.
But anyway, you people, take it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. They buy the phone whenever they need one. Like my family, my wife just bought one yesterday. When you need one, you buy one. Like she didn't care. She didn't even care what the phone was. Like she wanted an iPhone. She didn't even care all that much what it was. Like she wanted a small iPhone. Whatever was in store, she got. And that's fine. Like, it gets the job done. That's like, not everybody has to care to the same level as we do. There are enough people, we see that in the sales numbers when the new phones are released, that it's like a pretty massive sale. There are a lot of people that care, but there's probably an equal amount of people that don't.
I think you're right, Patrice. My feeling is that if everyone is watching Apple's product release cycle as closely as we do, that when a new iPhone or a new iPad comes out, you would see in the first 3 months, massive sales. Mm-hmm. And most of that would lean towards the first part of that 3 month window. And yeah, then
also Christmas.
Mm-hmm, and then sales would just drop off. And what we see instead, of course, is we have that initial rush when the new model comes out, and then sales just continue, and they'll drop off some as you're getting close to whatever the next model is, but those sales, they just continue through the entire product cycle.
Yeah, and I honestly had to go and remind myself. I just pulled it up here, but. You know, flip the story on its head. That means that there's 37% of smartphone sales coming from the iPhone SE, the iPhone 11, or the iPhone XR.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into those exact numbers because I just checked. It was a survey of 500 US customers that bought an iPhone, iPad, or Mac.
Oh, I missed.
So it's a small group, relatively small. I think the proportions might still be okay. I mean, there's a bigger margin of error with a small group like that. But like the proportions are probably still okay. It's like two-thirds iPhone 12 and one-third like everything else. Which I think tracks if you think about it. I mean, most people, when they get a new phone, they will get whatever the latest is. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense. Like, I mean, unless you have budgetary constraints or you like a certain phone, like the SE, for example, you will just get whatever is the latest in the size and form factor you want, because that makes sense. And then you have it for the next, whatever, 2-3 years, probably for most people.
Mm-hmm. And with that as well, I wonder what the breakdown would be within the iPhone 12 model itself, because mm-hmm. I'd imagine most, or at least a very, very high proportion of those sales would be the 12 Pro Max, where I'd imagine you get a lot of people walking to the Apple store and go, I want the best iPhone, which is something people do. They go, I want the biggest, the best one. Just buy it.
I think, I mean, Apple didn't say exactly, but I think they said in the last earnings call that I think the 12 Pro was the most sold one, but it was like the Pro Max was closely behind.
Right.
Which makes sense. I think the problem with the Pro Max is, yeah, a lot of people want the biggest, best, whatever, but a lot of people also don't want a big phone like that. So I think that's a little bit, that's why it balances out and you go more towards the Pro than the Pro Max. That especially since they're so close.
But like, I'm not a Pro Max user myself, so it makes it very easy for me to say, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. No, and said, there are good reasons not to go with a Pro Max, and like a lot of people do.
Yeah, I got the Pro Max only because of the superior camera capabilities. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I kind of liked my last one. My last phone was the smaller size, because that particular model, there was no compromise. The everything was available in both sizes, and so I opted for the smaller. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I felt like I lost was maybe a little battery life because of the smaller size. But I also lost the battery drain of the larger screen. So it felt like it balanced out. Mm-hmm. But this time it's like, yeah, I wanted the best camera I could possibly get. So I went with the larger phone.
Yeah. You know, this is a problem for me. And I totally get that this problem is completely immaterial to my ability to survive as a human. And yet it's still a problem. And it's that my screen is too big on my iPhone. I have to go with a Pro model. I have to go with a Pro model because I want the features that come in a Pro model. The camera does matter to me a lot because this is now my camera. I don't carry a DSLR or a dedicated point and shoot of any kind. It's just my iPhone. So that camera matters. And to get the features that I want in the camera, that means that I have to go with a bigger screen. So I go with the Pro model, not the Pro Max. Mm-hmm. If I could get all of the Pro features in an SE size model, I would buy that without hesitation. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people, they're like, but the screen is so small.
Yeah. And that's probably why Apple is doing that.
Right.
They're smart.
But if I could use my iPhone one-handed again, that would make it a proper mobile device. The fact that I need two hands to effectively use my iPhone, to me, that's a problem. My phone, I should be able to manage with a single hand because I'm on the go, I'm doing stuff. I need one hand for opening a door, carrying a bag, carrying an umbrella, whatever. And then the other hand to do whatever it is that I need to do in the moment on the phone.
Jeff, am I right though? When in the iPhone 12 iterations, there was a physical reason that Apple couldn't do that with the camera. And I can't remember exactly what it was.
There wasn't enough space for what they did with the cameras in the 12 Pro Max.
Okay.
Depth more than width. Actually.
Yeah. So there was a reason for it. It wasn't just Apple being, we want to sell you the bigger, more expensive phone. There was a physical reason that they had to do it that way.
Well,
they could have designed the phone to be able to accommodate the camera.
Yeah.
They could do the same thing with the SE line, but they choose not to. And I get it, even though I don't like it. You need to have clear distinctions between the models so that it's easier for consumers to choose what they want, but probably more importantly for Apple, easier for consumers to see why this model that's bigger and costs more is the one that you should really buy.
Ultimately, it's a balance of a lot of parameters. There's the marketing side, like distinguishing the phone so people know which one they want. There's the like weight and size and price and margins and like all of those factors. And ultimately, it's a balance. People think compromises are bad, but in this case, it's a good compromise. You simply have to find a balance between all of those factors to get to the right device or line of devices. So yeah, they could have made the other phones a little bit thicker, probably also a little bit heavier, but they decided that for probably multiple reasons that wasn't what they wanted.
Probably wasn't just
marketing. I don't think it was just marketing. I think it was also like weight and price and all of the other things.
Oh yeah, of course that all of those play into. To how a model is going to ultimately be made, and then of course how it's going to be marketed as well.
Yeah, I said it doesn't hurt. Like it doesn't hurt to have the most expensive phone also have the most features.
Yes. And we all know that every time that Apple redesigns a phone, you know, even just a little bit, everybody screams about, now I have to buy a new case. Now this dock doesn't work. Now that peripheral doesn't work. You know, it doesn't fit in. And, yeah. you know, so that's...
And if Apple doesn't do it, they're screaming that Apple is boring and stale and doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So. Yep. Just can't win.
Nope.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, this show and all the other shows on the British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts, which is absolutely awesome because that means we can actually be here live on the air. And for those of you that can't tune in live, well, you get to get the recordings after the fact, because TSO Host gives us the bandwidth we need to be able to stream to you and the storage space we need to be able to host all those files that you're going to watch and listen to later. So that's absolutely awesome. And Ewan routinely says, without TSO Host, we literally wouldn't be here. And that is not hyperbole. That is the truth. Without the support they're giving us, there would be no place for all of our content. So that is absolutely awesome. And if you need a domain name or you need some hosting, TSO Host is there for you. And they will give you a discount. You need to use, what was the discount code? BTN20. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. BTN20.
So take advantage of that. But more importantly, head over to your favorite social media network and give them a shout out. Give them some love. Tell TSO Hosts that you appreciate that they are supporting the British Tech Network, because everyone needs a little validation in their life. And this is one of the ways that TSO Hosts knows that we appreciate what they're doing for us. So head over to whatever your favorite social network is and give them a shout out. And they will appreciate it. And so will we, because we appreciate everything that they're doing for us. Also, iMend Max. And without them, we wouldn't be here either. So thank you to everyone that works for Callum. By the way, Callum, I just promoted you. Surprise. Yeah.
Craziness.
It was really that easy. Well done, sir. You're now the boss of everything. iMend Max is great because they will take your Apple gear and instead of figuring out what's wrong with it and then just replacing everything anyhow, Callum goes in with his magic skills and he will figure out exactly.
Magic.
Yeah, that's right. Callum, he will put his hands inside your stuff. And
I was hoping you'd finish that sentence in a different way. Oh dear.
Too late. Oh. It's already out there.
Good.
he will figure out what component's actually not working in your Apple device and replace that. So there's lots of bonuses to that. One is you're getting Callum's personal touch, but you're also saving the landfills from having even more tech junk in them, because you're not throwing away entire logic boards. You're just replacing the one or two components on the logic board that might have failed. So that's absolutely awesome. Also, iMend Max sells and leases gear. So if you're in the market for some new Apple kit, do you like that? I used a British word, some Apple kit. Hit them up. And Callum, do we have a machine of the day or week or however Ewan says it?
We have a number of 2018, 2019 MacBook Airs in at the moment. So really decent machines. I believe they're retailing for about £700, £800. Everything is on our website. If you just quote BTN at checkout, you get 5% off.
That's absolutely fantastic. Awesome. Also, dear God in heaven, Callum, you're just randomly spewing arms out of your head.
Welcome to I'm a Max's Park Cupboard.
That's just amazing. Also, We have the daily news show, and we need money to keep that happening because it costs to make that show happen. We're paying for it, and ultimately that means you need to pay for it. So you need to make donations to British Tech Network to keep the show on the air. I don't know how much money is left because why would I? But I know it's not much, which means that without a cash infusion, that show's going to end very soon. And we don't want that to happen. So you need to go to the British Tech Network website and make a donation. And what I'm doing, because people are like, oh, how much should I give? I don't know. It's I'll tell you, just start with something easy. $5, or for the rest of the world, £5, €5, whatever.
£5 million, though.
Yeah, five. Give five, because that's easy to do, and you can count it on one hand. So go and give. Yes.
We can do it in world languages.
Yeah, in all the languages. Give five. Just go and do it. As soon as the show's done, drop $5, £5, €5, five, to British Tech Network to keep the daily news show on the air. And that would be absolutely awesome. And I bet that the smile that Ewan will have on his face will be absolutely amazing. And that smile will be worth far more than the £5, $5, five whatevers that you are giving to the network. So hop to it, go and do it. And maybe more than 5 yen. Bob Beach is saying 5 yen. So maybe a little bit more than 5 yen.
I think we'll take 5 yen. I mean, it doesn't matter. We'll take 5 yen.
We'll take it, but give more than 5 yen.
Yeah. I mean, if someone wants to give us £5 million, we'll take it. Like,
well, see, that's still five.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All pick right. Your five.
Pick your five and go donate it and hop to it. The show's almost over, so even with the short attention spans that we have now, there's still enough time for you to remember and make it happen. Okay, so thank you to TSO host, thank you to Iman Max, and proactively thank you to all of you that are going to donate your five. Right after the show. So thank you. Everyone's awesome. All right, now on to the cool thing. Chuck, what do you have for us?
My cool thing is sort of informed by my week. I just threw a couple links in. You need a VPN. Uh-oh. Okay? You need a VPN. I spent most of this week in jury duty, which involves a whole lot of waiting in the United States system to be picked or evaluated as a juror. By the way, I was never picked, you know, because who wants a claims guy as on a jury? But anyway, so we went to the jury room and they handed out little slips of paper. Oh, we have Wi-Fi for you. Okay, great. So the name of the Wi-Fi network was Public.
Oh.
Well, it gets better. That was the network. The username, and I won't give the username out, because it refers to the jurisdiction, but it's the jurisdiction in which I'm sitting. Okay, so that's the username. The password is juror 2012.
Okay, so you know when it was generated?
Okay, so look at the faces of the panel. They had the same reaction I did. Oh my God, nobody's changed this password since 2012, and it's now 2021. And everybody's dutifully typing, you know, in and getting on the Wi-Fi. And of course, the first thing I do, yes, I put it in, but I hit the VPN button and the VPN pops up on my phone. And so I'm secure. And I started doing just, general conversations of, you know, hey, did you do anything? Did you use the VPN? And you get that blank stare. What's a VPN? And why should I care? Because I'm sitting in a courthouse. It must be safe.
And what do I have to hide?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it boggles my mind. So folks, please, if you do not trust public Wi-Fi that you don't know, if that's outside of Yes, if it's outside of your office, maybe if it's inside your office or not inside your home, you really need a VPN. Now, I'm quick to tell you that there are a lot of VPN providers out there. You can Google best VPN and you will get lists from a lot of credible organizations, almost none of which agree on what the best VPNs are. I can only tell you the ones that I've had great experience with, one of which has sponsored Mac Voices. That's not why they're mentioned here. They're mentioned because it works for me, and that's ExpressVPN. Mm-hmm. The other one I've had great luck with is Private Internet Access. And so those are the two that I use, and I can endorse from the standpoint of they work for me. But whatever you do, go out, look at any of the lists, be careful. Please pay for your VPN. Do not use a free VPN, because then you're just, you know, you're just giving your being the product for somebody else. Yeah. But do not trust public VPNs, please, especially in a courthouse.
No, there are three that I can recommend. I'd absolutely second ExpressVPN. There is NordVPN, which is also very good, and there is one that you pay that is for you free. But you pay for it for your setup subscription. That's ClearVPN.
Works only on your Mac. I'll add TunnelBear to that list.
TunnelBear, yeah, there are a couple. But ExpressVPN is definitely my top choice.
I've used IPVanish for years, and it's really good and really well priced. It's never let me down. To be fair, yeah.
But they're like three or four that will basically top every list, and it just matters like who voted for what, which one is first. And that's usually ExpressVPN and NordVPN. Those are usually the top two.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, please, folks, you know, for your own protection, because really, I how difficult would it have been for me to get in there, set up a man in the middle situation where I say, well, if this network doesn't work, try this one. And I've got it. And then I'm sitting there siphoning through their content. So, you know, it just drives me crazy that, you know, people just do this stuff blindly. And I don't know what the solution is, but except to go and get a VPN service. Mm-hmm. So sorry, that was a little longer than it should be, but you needed to hear the story, especially the password. The password just blew me away.
I was 13 when that Wi-Fi was installed.
Wow. The password hasn't changed since.
Wow.
And Magic Man is asking about the private relay. That's not a VPN. That's coming in macOS and iOS 15.
And that's for Safari specifically.
No, it works in other apps too. It does, but it's not a VPN. And if the app, for example, is using encryption itself, like encrypted traffic, then it does not use private relay.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So not a VPN.
Bob Beach says at least the password wasn't password. Oh, okay, Bob, you're right. It could have been worse. It could have been worse.
Yeah.
Was it Jura with a capital J?
Yes.
Oh, it's getting better. Wow. Oh, good.
Now it's all okay.
Yeah,
it's secure now.
Yeah. Patrice, what's your cool thing?
So my cool thing, as teased in the beginning, is Converse Custom Shoe Builder. They're like, I have rarely seen any clothing company, honestly, that even does this, like where you can, or like other than like obviously like the local shoemaker or whatever, like that builds custom for you shoes. But like the big clothing brands, I've rarely seen any way you can customize anything. If anything, they have like a couple options that you can pick from, or like 10 different colors or something. But this allows you within, it's not completely free for all, but it's like they have a lot of customization options for their shoes. Colors, patterns. I mean, I can show the ones that I ordered, and those I designed, and it was super easy, and I did it on my iPhone. So that's the other thing. It actually works really well, even on an iPhone, which is not just the norm for any kind of customizer. Like a lot of them were flash-based or like terrible, and half of the time didn't work. But the ones I got look like this.
See that? Oh, those are awesome.
They're purple and pink, and they have like everything I wanted. Exactly how I wanted it. Like you could pick like the what are they called? The grommets, I think, like the little metal thingies. Like you can basically everything you see, there were at least a couple like 5 to 10 options of what I can pick. Like colors, the binding, colors of the inside, the sole, like whether I wanted that patch or not, which patch I wanted. You could even like I didn't do that, but you could like do put like stitches on it. Like have your own initials, for example, on them if you want to. Like if your family is like confusing your shoes for someone else's or something. Like it's just so many options, and it's really well built. And they're not like they don't cost any more as the like manufactured pre-built ones. They're exactly the same price as far as I've seen. Like those That's were really I think cool. $90 or 80 or something. I think €90 with taxes and everything.
I'm just pressing loads of buttons now. It's really cool.
It does. Like it takes obviously then a couple of weeks. Like I think it took like 3 weeks to deliver, because obviously they're manufacturing them somewhere. I think in Vietnam, and they're shipping them here. So there is that, but it is really good. And if you're into like chucks or sneakers in general, those are really good. And I like the quality. Like I like chucks anyway. So this was my kind of summer present for myself.
That's very cool. All right, Callum, top that.
Again, it's a little bit cliched, but yeah, it's the M1 MacBook Air. One of my bosses in the office got one this week as a replacement for 16-inch MacBook Pro i9. And it's just... I cannot stress how wonderful the M1 chips are. And to be able to go out and buy that MacBook Air with the battery life it has, the power it has, and the really nice screen it has for less than £1,000. And I've just gone straight off the Apple link. I know for a fact that if you shop around at retail stores within the UK, you can get it for sub 900. I'm going to go out and perhaps a bit of a limb and say it is the best value laptop out on the market in the world right now in terms of bang for buck and how much you pay and the quality and the speed and the battery life. It is honestly, honestly unreal. My boss does a lot of Zooms, a lot of networking and that sort of thing. He hasn't charged it in 2 days and he's been on about 6 hours worth of Zooms. It's just unreal. It's absolutely unreal. And for less than £1,000, you really cannot go wrong. Yeah, just wonderful.
Yeah, that's a really nice machine. It's crazy that Apple is making these consumer laptops that for under $1,000, under £1,000, are outperforming substantially higher end machines.
I think as well, something that's been a real change for me with these M1 Macs that have come out, and obviously we haven't seen the higher end ones yet, but obviously a big argument against Apple, not against Apple, but a reason why people don't buy them is because of the price. And people go, oh, well, if you want to buy a decent MacBook, it's a couple of grand or whatever. It's just not the case anymore. You can get a machine that will outperform most machines you'll buy off the shelf in other shops. And it's of a really good price, you know, like £600-700 for a Mac Mini. It's absolutely unreal. The value is just phenomenal.
It is so cheap that I know Doc, for example, he bought one. Like he has a fully loaded, I think, car, like last, I think it's a 2020 iMac Pro, like the last iMac Pro basically that was sold, and actually two of them. And he was just like, let's buy the base model, like £700. Let's try it. I think he was in the show when he did it. I'm like, let's just try it. I mean, he can make £700 in like no time. So it's like, worst case, he sells it in like a couple of months. And he's using that machine now and he's like super happy with it. Like it's better. It's in a lot of senses better than his iMac Pros.
Yeah, he said for most things, his base Mac Mini M1 outperforms his iMac Pros.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the crazy part. And he, yeah. I think he just got a new iMac with an M1 because of that.
I cannot stress it enough. If you don't have one and you're umming and ahhing, mm-hmm. I ummed and ahhed for months and months and months, and I got it, and it was wow.
Yeah, remember, we convinced you to get one.
I thought, oh, should I wait, see what they bring out next? No, don't wait, buy one, do it.
Yeah, I said, you can always, I mean, at that price, you can always sell them for a recent price, like decent price.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably trade them in at Diamond Max. Like, I don't know. Will you take it? Like, if someone came with like an M1 Mac Mini?
Yeah, definitely.
See? So, there already you go. Sorted. Bring them to Diamond Max.
All right. My pick is free this week, and it's an iPhone app, and it's called Brickit. And this is an app that that if you do anything with Lego, you're going to absolutely love, because what it does is it lets you like pour out a bunch of Lego bricks, and then you aim your camera at the bricks and it inventories everything you have. And then it's just so cool.
Yeah.
And then you can figure out what you can build with the bricks that you have. It'll also keep track of the bricks that come in kits. So you can build like a database of everything that you have that way too. But just being able to like pour out a bucket of Lego bricks and then point your iPhone camera at them and watch it go and go through everything. And speaking of Lego, the cat is tearing apart. Wally. Anyhow, really cool app. It's free. And it's not an app that Lego makes, but it's an app that a bunch of Lego fans have made. And it's just really cool. So Brickit. All right. So Patrice, once again, because clearly I have some sort of mental problem that prevents me from remembering the link for finding the chat and the show notes. Where can people go?
Well, they can point whatever browser they prefer, Safari or not, we don't judge, to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, then navigate to the 16th of July 2021. I hope that's today. Just try to remember it.
July 16th.
Yeah. And there you will find all the links, like all the stories and the cool things and everything we talked about.
Awesome. Thank you. And we have managed to get through another show without going so completely off the rails, much to probably everyone's surprise.
Yeah.
Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll see everything we do. We're back from vacation and spinning up the drives again and having a little fun. And on Tuesday nights, we do Mac Voices live on YouTube at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time it is where you are. So we'd love to have you join us in the chat room there, where you can ask questions or heckle the audience or heckle the presenters or both, which happens pretty frequently. And on the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for hosting.
I'm happy to do it. All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show on a Friday and also the Big Show on a Thursday. I have been recently on In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com with David, who is on vacation this week. So he's not here. And with Jeff, so another podcast with Jeff. Everything I do, all the social media links and podcasts and whatnot, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback, where I talk to really interesting people about food and just food-related memories and stuff at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. All right, Callum, where can people find you?
You can find us and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at immmax. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. I'm also in the Slack room. If you've got any questions, want to know anything, need any help with anything, or want to book a repair, you're more than welcome to reach out to me or any of the team, and we'll help you.
Awesome. And someday, I have a dream, Callum. Someday, I'm going to be over in the UK, and I'm going to hand you my iPads that need new batteries, and we will live stream you replacing the batteries in my iPads. Yeah, no pressure.
No, it's it's not even that. I'm thinking of it's just the world we live in at the moment. The likelihood of that happening anytime soon is just unfortunately a million.
Sounds
million
really
miles
outlandish,
away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right. No, that's why it's a dream. I mean, it's possible I may have to break down and take one of them over to the Apple store and have them put a battery in it. But I'd really rather it be you.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Jeff.
I know.
Resist.
I know. Resist. I'll just be disappointed. Yeah, because it won't be you. All right, so I am on Twitter and Instagram. I am jgamut both places. And you can also find the videos I'm making on my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/jgamut. On Thursdays, I'm here on The Big Show. Fridays, The Mac Show. Most Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live with Chuck. And yes, this last week, I did In Touch with iOS with Patrice. So that was fun getting to be guests together on another show. I also did Apple Context Machine this week. So there's that. And Chuck, you might like that one. It was Brian had me and John Keat on, and it was part two of us talking about real important technologies, features from Apple's operating systems. So the week before we did iOS, this week we did macOS. And it was a lot of fun.
Jeff, I think we need to give you some homework.
Okay.
I think we need a podcast feed that just has Jeff Gamut's appearances so that we don't miss any.
Oh, yeah. The Jeff Gamut Network.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. I think we need the Jeff Gamut Network.
JGN, yeah.
I did buy the Pants Free Radio Network at .com.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Get going, boy. Get going.
I know. Giddy up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. It would be rather easy.
I've just spotted in the chat as well. Magic Man's put in the latest photo show has been posted as well. So if you like to watch the photo show, that's up as well.
The photo show is actually really cool. If you're even remotely interested in photography in any way, you should totally check it out. They have really cool discussions. So go check it out, the photo show. We have made it to the end. Thank you. Thank you to all three of you for being here today so that I wasn't just sitting here live answering emails for an hour. Which I suppose I could have done, but this was probably a lot more interesting and a lot more entertaining. So thank you to all of you for being such an amazing panel today. Thank you to everyone that's watching live. All of you are absolutely awesome. And thank you for being part of the chat room. That is just totally awesome. And to all of you that watch or listen to the recordings later, thank you for being part of this as well. Every one of you absolutely rocks. So thank you to everyone. You're totally awesome. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. And maybe Ewan will be back live from the Mobile Command Center next week. All right. Everyone have a great weekend.